This podcast is in collaboration with Sheep Producers Australia, part of the National Sheep and Goat Traceability Task Force, to support industry with the move to mandatory electronic identification in sheep and goats. The first guest in the series is Beth Green, an independent traceability specialist answering questions about the mandate and what it'll look like for the industry. Thank you so much, Beth, for joining us today. It's exciting to have you on here. We always start our Livestock Collective podcasts with, I think, the trickiest question and probably the corniest, but three words to describe yourself.
That's actually really tricky to put it into three words because I'm not good at using not many words. But I think ultimately just passionate about agriculture. That is the way I live my life.
Yeah. And well, that will lead into our next question. I presume that stems from somewhere. So you're a consultant and traceability specialist. So what does that actually mean? And tell us a little about you and what it is that you do.
So I was born in Lake Grace in Western Australia and grew up south of Killarney on the Rabbit Proof Fence Road with three brothers, and I just wanted to be a farmer. I'm a fifth generation Australian farmer. We won the best ram in the colony in the 1870s Sydney Royal Show before we were even a country. And it's just, I think, in the blood. And I figured with three brothers that I wouldn't get to be a farmer where I was. So I decided to become an agronomist, and that was at the age of nine. So since the age of nine, I've been determined and just wanted to work in agriculture, which I did agricultural science, and I've worked in it every day since. So that's how I got to where I am. I moved from agronomy into livestock biosecurity in 2005. And I've worked with that as identifying it as something that is only going to get more involved and complicated as time went on, but it's an essential hurdle that industry has to overcome to protect itself within the country and also with markets. So I can not sell something I don't believe in, and I always try and maybe say things that people think but are too scared to say. I want to put the practicality out there saying, yep, there's positives and negatives. Let's try and work our way through it. So my traceability work has covered national committees and working on policy and standards and legislation and technical help through the cattle industry first when they went to EID, and then across sheep and goats, a little bit of work with alpacas and also with pigs. So I finished working with the government last year. I wanted to dedicate more time to helping industry directly, and that's what I'm able to do now, working independently.
So our first big question for you today, Beth, is why was the decision made? We've been talking to a lot of growers, and they have indicated they're looking for tips and tricks and just clarity around the whole EID process. And so we wanted to pick your brains. But, yeah, why has this decision been made, and why now?
Traceability is exactly the same as other parts of our life in that as technology progresses, traceability is going to change. So while we've had a visual system that has delivered a really adequate system and the benefits, the availability of the technology now allows us to trace individual animals, which will increase our ability to respond to a disease outbreak or a residue detection. So when Victoria moved to EID, we were able to assess the difference between visual and EID traceability, and hands down, the absolute undeniable benefits of being able to trace an individual animal over a visual mob-based system. So that's when we knew that the technology was available, it was consistent, and all we had to do from there was find the resourcing and funding, and we would be able to move to EID, which is now.
And what will that look like for growers, and what will that look like on a national level?
For growers, they need to really look at how they run their enterprises. So if you breed and sell, all it will look like for you is a different type of tag. If you bring animals onto your property, if you buy through a sale yard, there will be no difference. You just have to make sure everything has an identification tag before it leaves. If you buy through an on-site, like a physical auction, the animals will be transferred to your property for you, so you won't have to do anything. So if you buy your rams, if the only animals you bring onto your property are rams for breeding, if you buy them through an auction, like an on-farm stud sale, they'll be transferred for you, so you won't have to do anything. But if you buy privately or you buy through an online auction, where the animals are not all congregated in one spot, then your responsibility will be to make sure they're transferred to your property. But that doesn't mean you have to do it. It means you have to make sure it's done. So either get your own scanner and do it yourself, or get a contractor, ask your agent to help, our contract of sale, that they will do it for you, or find a family member or someone who can assist you with it. So the people who have to make a change are the ones who bring stock onto their property through private sales or online auctions, or move them between their own properties if they have different picks.
And what are some dates that growers should keep in mind, and the industry, when do tags need to be in ears by?
Every state and territory across the country has agreed that any lambs or kids born, or sheep or goats born from the 1st of January 2025 have to be identified with an EID. The difference comes about identifying stock that are already on property at that time. So depending on where you are, you will have to identify them prior to leaving the property. So Tasmania is 2025. Northern Territory is 2025. Most other states are 2027. Western Australia is July 26. So it really comes down to knowing where you live and what you need to do. But it doesn't stop you using EID in preparation for those dates. So yes, completely legitimate to say I'm not spending my money on those devices until I have to. But if you are handling your stock regularly, it may be easier to plan when you're going to start using those devices so that you're not put under pressure when you suddenly realise you're sending your older stock off and you have a truck turning up. So just look at your usual handling and identify them convenient to you rather than to a strict deadline.
And on a national basis, like what do you think it'll look like, or what are we predicting it'll look like for EIDs and traceability?
There's going to be an efficiency eventually. Like, we all know that it's going to be a little bit tricky to start with as we transition and learn how to use it. But on a national basis, what it will have is a database that records individual stock as they move from property to property within 2 days of movement. So that's pretty good timing. We need to be able to trace in that time to assess any disease or residue issue that we're trying to find. And the efficiency of being able to trace every animal and any animal that's been in contact with over a certain time period will just be invaluable in being able to respond to an incident and protect the industry and its markets.
As an industry specialist, or a specialist in this area, you're no doubt being questioned about this a lot, but also aware that of some issues that we might face, both at a grower level and at an industry level. What are they, and how do you think we will overcome them?
I think the biggest issue is just that lack of confidence in the beginning. Are we doing it right? And what if something goes wrong? I just think we have to accept that we're going to have a period of learning, but over time we will get used to it, and the efficiencies that are available will come to fruition. So as a whole, just accept that it's going to be practice makes perfect. From a producer point of view, accessing a scanner or learning how to use a scanner and putting your devices from your stock onto your computer, absolutely, it's a new thing to learn. There are going to be resources out there for that. Everything from step-by-step guides to videos, because it's far easier to watch someone do something, or finding someone who can do it for you. So I would envisage that there are going to be people out there who take up like a second line of income having a scanner and becoming the local contractor, because if you do it more often, it becomes easier. So knowing that there's someone, you know, in your area that you can give a call and say, I've got a truck turning up, can you come and scan it and do transfer for me? I think that's a really good idea for people who are interested in that sort of thing. But ultimately, other than that, it's going to come down to making sure your stock have an EID before they leave the property, and to make sure everything is connected and ready to go when you have stock turning up at your place, whether you're a sale yard, a feedlot, or a processor. We just can't delay the access to the traceability benefits that we'll get through EID. So knowing that it's going to be a bit clunky to start with is not a reason not to do it, because we will get there. That's what we do. We have a history of becoming good at what we do. So as Australians generally, we're resourceful, we're innovative, and we are resilient, and we get there. We've already proved that with the previous system, and that's where we will get to with the new system. It's just a change, an evolutionary change in technology.
And I understand this is something that you're very passionate about, and you did actually did a Churchhoof Fellowship on this topic. So for those who don't know, what is a Churchhoof Fellowship? And my understanding is you traveled around the world seeing other systems that people have. So what were your takeaways from that, you know, and how has that influenced what we're doing here in Australia?
Yeah, so the Winston Churchill Trust is there to fund people to learn globally and bring back to use locally. So it's a remarkable establishment that is out there to help Australia as a country. So it was generated in as a memorial to Winston Churchill, where it was the biggest public fundraising event in history, where it was basically door knocked to generate the original funds. And now there's about 100 people a year out of about 1,100 applicants who get to travel around the world to study something that they're passionate about that will be useful to Australia. So there's no qualifications required. It can't be part of a formal qualification, and it can be for anybody, whether it's arts, science, agriculture, health, policing, all sorts of things. If you can justify that there is information out there that we need to consider back here in Australia to make our lives better, then that's what it's for. So I went to Scotland, Canada, the US. I drove across Kansas and down to Uruguay, flew to Uruguay to look at their different systems. And I chose those countries based on the degree of government industry interaction, whether it was mainly government driven, whether it's mainly industry. It was voluntary in the US, and I wanted to know why producers chose to do that. What was their driver to take it up without being told they had to? And just to see the interactions to generate what level of success so that we could cherry pick it. And my outcomes for that was that as a whole, Australia has the most robust traceability system for biosecurity. There are certainly areas we can improve on, but as a whole, the way we have designed it makes the most of our environment and our people.
Mm. And so why did the US voluntary implement EIDs? What was the answer to the question there?
Yeah, well, it's actually fear. It was fear coming from other people's experience. So with the UK having FMD and 6 or 7 million stock being destroyed, taking away their breeding stock, their production stock, their livelihoods, their way of life, tourism, it was such a huge impact. And for one of the people I went to see who runs a very large feedlot, a series of feedlots, he said the thought of having to destroy all the stock on his property was more traumatic than the economic cost of doing that. But both of them would be devastating long term. So he said, we can't let that become an issue. We need to find a way to avoid that. And that's what traceability does. It doesn't just let you trace the animals you need to find. It lets you know which animals you don't need to find. So it really protects far more animals by not involving them in a response than the ones that we need to find.
And so we talk about traceability and associated a lot with EIDs. Another term we're hearing a lot is market access. It's frequently used with EIDs. Now, what does market access actually mean?
Market access with regard to traceability comes down to the consumer or the buyer's confidence that what they're buying is of the indicated quality. But on top of that, food safety is a huge issue because food is the basis to everything, and you want to make sure that what you are feeding your people is safe. So while it might not specifically say you need to have a traceability system that delivers this, the fact that we do have a traceability system that does provide integrity in the product that we're going forward, coupled with our sampling processes and everything that are in place regardless, just to make sure that what we're sending away is safe, it means that if something did go wrong, they know that we can find the property or the stock or the product in order to maintain public safety. So market access, depending on the disease and the residue, we've all seen that we've lost it through organochlorines in America. It comes down to being able to respond to that and knowing that there's a system in place. So it will also, having the traceability means that we can potentially regain market access once we've overcome an incident as well. So it's not a direct answer, but it's there to protect what we have, and it's there to regain what we may lose should something go wrong.
And would there be benefits like market access wide? We talk about a lot at an international level, but what about at a domestic level? benefits to the industry by having that knowledge base, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. I think sometimes we forget that our consumers, we have a domestic market. It's not all about export. Our export consumers are no more important than the people who live in our country who are consumers. We need to make sure that the food is safe, that there's integrity in its production, and that's what the system is there for. So, like I said, it works in combination with a whole lot of other programs that regularly test and ensure that what we are putting on the shelves is safe for them. It's also food security, as far as, like we saw with COVID, we had empty shelves because of a human disease. Can you imagine the empty shelves if we had an animal disease, which meant that the shelves couldn't be restocked? Mm. So the security, the traceability system provides security of trying to maintain our ability to produce as well as our ability to process what we produce.
Next question on my list of commonly asked questions is, what are some commonly asked questions? That's the question I'm asking, the question with a question. What do growers often come to you asking who are at early stages or have implemented, using EIDs within their businesses? What are some tips and tricks, or what would you want to tell them?
I think, like I said, number one is to work out what you need to know and what you need to do, and make sure you can do that properly. So do you only need to buy different tags? Do you need to buy a scanner? Is a hand scanner going to be adequate for the number of stock that come onto your property, like half a dozen stud rams? Or would a panel scanner that you can put on the race as you're unloading trucks going to be more useful if you buy regularly by the truckload? So you need to have a look at what do you actually do. If you only breed and sell, or buy through sale yards, well, then you don't have to do anything different except the make sure everything has the correct device. So the biggest thing is not to become overwhelmed. Find how you operate and make sure you know just what you need to do. You don't need to know the entire option of system out there. It's what do you need to do, and just discard the rest. But also make sure that you have found somewhere that you can find the answers for what you need. Because when you don't do it every day, no one's going to remember how to do it properly. So you don't need to remember that. You just need to know where to go to find the answer. So there are resource pages, like I said, with brilliant videos and how to do what you need to do instructions. But on top of that, the state ag departments have all got project teams that have technical help available. Industry has the same. And I'm sure private consultants and contractors and stock agents, they are a wealth of knowledge. So just know where to go, but you also need to know when you need to get that information. So if you bring stock on, you've got 2 days to transfer them in. So don't wait till they're there. If you know stock are coming, work out what has to happen so you don't put yourself under that pressure.
And is there any growers coming to you with benefits that they're reporting from implementing EIDs on their properties?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a very personal thing as to whether you choose to use EIDs for your own on-farm production. So on-farm production is not a good enough reason to make everyone use EIDs. That is 100% due to biosecurity benefits, and that said it benefits everybody and not just industry. It benefits the general public and all our consumers. So everyone benefits, therefore you mandate it. Whereas on farm, there are people who are able to identify that they're freeloading ewes. You know, like if they're not lambing or they're not bringing a lamb into wean, well, you can remove them. If the growth rates are not uniform, you have the ability to work with that and breed accordingly. If you are delivering to weight and grade, and you can make sure you don't send some that you get penalised for falling out of spec. Like they're the daily things that you can do to basically pay for the devices. But like I said, it's up to, if you have the time and energy to do that, well and good, but it's definitely not something that everyone has to do. So I do have questions from people saying, but I don't want to use data. Well, you don't have to. That's not the system. The system is identification and recording them moving from property to property.
So we're almost at the end, but is there other bits of advice you have? I'm sure, you know, you've had lots of growers come to you, like specific, I don't know, infrastructure or specific equipment or types of tags, anything around that, or any other frequently asked questions you receive?
Yeah. So when it comes down to people say, which device should I buy or use? Ultimately, it comes down to what you're comfortable with, But just consider, I know some people have mentioned the vegetation type where the it's quite sticky and sometimes you get tags pulled out from that, or people who've used feeders. So either put some, like adjust your feeders so that the ones on the ends don't get their tags caught in them, or consider the button tags so that they don't get caught at all. The other type of consideration I've heard people talk about is humidity and moisture may be more of an issue if you're a goat owner and you use the leg band, which wraps around the hock, or the button tags. So just consider if you are in areas of high moisture or humidity, sometimes that moisture retention by having contact with the skin is an issue. So it really comes down to the individual and your management circumstances. And none of that may be relevant to you, and you can just choose to use whichever ones you want. The other common question is, what happens if my stock go through the sale yard and they don't all scan? It's always going to be an issue, but like I said, over time, the scanning rates will maximise and stabilise as people know how to make to reach that level. So sale yards will have a responsibility to make sure everything is scanned. We need to just see how things operate in Western Australia or in each state to see how that pans out as to how we're going to actually address that. I think that the scanning rates have proven themselves well enough over time that it's not going to be a major issue once we have the systems working properly. And the last question would be those who sell thousands of lambs direct to processor each year. Like, it's a waste of me spending this much money on a tag. Absolutely, I understand that position. But the thing you have to think about is that this system is national, and you're not the only one who sends lambs to abattoirs. So, you know, sheep are notoriously good at jumping fences and getting mixed up. And when there's a possibility of that happening, we need to have a system in place to mitigate that. So if, for example, an animal was detected with an issue, either a residue or some disease symptoms, if it happened to be one that's jumped a fence, which is the Murphy's Law we all farm to, then that becomes your issue if it's visual, because, you know, by the time it's all detected, the tag might not be there to tell you where it came from. So with EID, we will be able to say that that body number came specifically from this particular property. And if it's jumped the fence, it means we're going to chase the right animal, the right property, and the right cohort, as opposed to inflicting significant impact on the wrong person or the wrong stock. So we just have to look at that on the whole of industry viewpoint, that it's not going to happen every day. It's not going to happen a lot, but the fact that it can happen, and it does on occasion, we have to have a system in place to mitigate the threat of chasing the wrong cohort, which then allows for whatever's going wrong to keep percolating in the background, and we'll be looking in the wrong direction. So that's why we need to have every animal turn up, because if you're delivering 400 lambs and everyone else is delivering 400 lambs, they all look pretty similar, it makes it very difficult for the processor to manage.
Awesome. And anything else you think we should know? And any more questions they have, where do you suggest people go to?
I think for questions, primarily you have, like I said, your State Ag Department project team for EID implementation. They're all well established now, and they have direct access links on their web pages, but there's also an industry web page that we are developing that will have all the resources you could put that are out there. We've done the entire search that you can search by state, or you can search by sheep or goats to find out what's relevant. So it'll have the relevant legislation, the timelines, how to register or update your pick, what sort of identification you need for your stock, whether you use year of birth colours or a yellow one, or whether you use a pink one for brought in stock. It'll show you how to use the, put the devices on, how it'll connect through to your NVD and LPA accreditation, how to use ENVDs, and then also how to use the database when stock come on. So that site is in production at the moment and is growing on a regular basis. So that is based through the Sheep and Goat Traceability Task Force and hosted with Sheep Producers Australia.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today, Beth. It's been great talking to you and learning all about EIDs and what I suppose the future of the industry is going to look like with it.
Thanks very much, Tiffany.
Thank you, Beth. Please note that there has been a change to the EID timing in Tasmania since this podcast was initially recorded. While all sheep and goats born or on or after January 2025 must be identified with an EID, any older stock in Tasmania do not need to have an EID until January 2027. For more information and resources, please head to the Sheep Producers Australia's website that we have included in the show notes.